Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international. And yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, welcome back to hour number two. Got a guest in studio with us. If you're live streaming the show, you'll see her sitting here in the studio. By the way, you can live stream the show in case you didn't know that. YouTube, Right Side is also on live streaming on Twitter. We're on Rumble. We're all over the place. But yeah, you can live stream the show any given day. And sitting in studio with me right now is someone who I've had the pleasure of knowing for a number of years. Charlotte Meadows is a former state representative, served in House District 74. She is currently running for the Alabama School Board in District 3. And y'all, it's a race. There's three horses in that race right now. We know this coming. I like to say that the primaries in Alabama often decide the races, except that sometimes when you got multiple candidates, you wind up with a runoff. So we just wait to see what happens. Tuesday, though, is a big day for Charlotte Meadows. How you doing, Charlotte Meadows?
I'm doing great, Phil. It's good to see you.
It's good to see you, too.
I always enjoy visiting with you. You're just such an uplifting person.
Well, I appreciate that. Don't try and butter me up before I
I'm
do a hard interview with you.
I'm not trying to butter you up.
I may be about to slam you on
That's
stuff.
Okay.
You don't know.
I'm good on talk radio. I've done this before, you know. That's one thing I think people like about me is I'm not afraid to answer questions. I give them an honest answer. Even if they don't like the answer I give, I tell you. Well, I'm voting away.
Where were you on the night of the 22nd? No, I'm just kidding.
Of which month?
That's right, yeah.
What year?
Now, Charlotte and I have actually known each other for a while, served together in the legislature. One of my first memories of you was before you were in the legislature, I was already in the state Senate. I was running for my reelection in 2014, and you had been actually working hard on school choice issues in the state house.
And we were supporting you because you believed in school choice, and we wanted to make sure you got reelected.
And then I'll never forget coming to a day when we were going to go door-to-door knocking here in Etowah County for my state Senate race, and Charlotte Meadows drives in from Montgomery to go door knocking for me. And that just meant the world to me. When I get a chance, I always thank you publicly for that.
You know, I know what it means to have people come and go door knocking for you. And it really
yes,
means
indeed.
A lot. So
yes, indeed. Well,
you're
it did
very
that
welcome.
Day.
And you won. So we accomplished the goal.
So it was all because of you.
It was all because of me. And those maybe 150, 200 doors, but maybe 300. I don't know.
All right. Listen, you're running for school board, which I think is, I think you're almost ideally suited to run for that seat because, you've been an advocate for school choice and the improvements made to education. You have been very involved in the startup of a charter school. You have been active in the legislature on school-related issues. I mean, I don't want to say it's not like it's just, you know, you have one thing, it's your niche, but this is definitely a niche for you.
This has been my passion for a number of years. I mean, back when our kids first got in, actually, we started our kids in private schools because that's what everybody in Montgomery does. And then we moved them one at a time, actually, over to the public school system. And that's when I got more involved and realized the public school board doesn't make decisions based on what's best for kids. Ran for that seat in 2006 and served there for 6 years.
Oh, so you were on the local school board?
Yes.
I did not know that.
Oh, well, my goodness, you've missed a key part of my background. I mean, that's where I really got started in politics. I mean, I kind of thought the local school board was going to be more like a glorified PTA. And it was anything but. It was very political. I mean, your local school board, you know, you get hounded by the Chamber of Commerce, their city council, county commissioners, your state legislator. I mean, everything we did was, you know, ended up on the front page of the paper sometimes. So I learned a lot mostly about how to read data from one of our assistant superintendents. And he really took the time to share with me and explain this is how you look at these numbers and see what, you know, how this classroom is doing. I mean, and as a local board member, you weren't really caring about individual classrooms, but we did care about individual schools. And of course, the system as a whole, how are we doing? Are we making progress? Are we improving? I mean, obviously, we know there's a lot of problems, but we also know that those problems can be fixed if you're focused on the problem. But if you don't know what the problem is, you don't know where it starts. If kids are doing well in reading in this school, but they're really doing abysmal in math, then you look at the math teachers. Duh. Yeah. I mean, you know. Yeah. But that's where I got started, is in the local school
board. All right. So that's huge. So you've seen school board from the grassroots level.
Yes.
And by the way, I say on this show all the time that one of the things that we've got to have more of is people who see a concern they think needs to be addressed, and they stand up and go and do something about it. And so
and that's
all right, so first of all,
pretty much exactly what
I did. I'm tickled pink to hear you say that. In fact, don't ever tell anybody again that I said the words tickled pink. But anyway, the bottom line is this. I'm pretty stoked that you did that, because that's a testimony. And you went from there to state legislature, and now you're running for the state school board.
Well, actually, I went from there to being an education reform lobbyist and then to the state legislature.
True.
So I did it kind of backwards for most people. Most people become a legislator and then go to lobbying.
Speaking of education, a lot of things happening, and I want to spend some time with you. We're going to talk about your campaign here in a few minutes, but I want to talk about what is going on right now in Alabama. I mean, there's a school choice bill that is moving through the processes.
The big thing in Alabama finally is school choice,
yeah.
And we've been saying this for several years. I'm very proud. I carried the first universal school choice bill in Alabama with Del Marsh,
yep.
One of your compatriots, and really enjoyed working with him. That was an interesting experience. I'd never worked with. I was a freshman, and he's obviously not. He'd been there forever. So anyway, we carried the Parents' Choice Act back in 2022.
Yeah.
And it got scuttled and sent into committee. But I do think that was the beginning of what we've got now, which is the Choose Act. And Choose is already through the House. It's heading to the Senate. I think it'll probably be on the floor of the Senate next week. It's already been through the Senate committee, so it probably doesn't even have to go back to the committee, but it should be on the floor sometime in at least next week or the week after. The governor has said that this is one of her priority bills, so I expect it to pass. There's been some changes since it first came out. One of those actually I think is very positive. It prioritized military families.
Yeah.
So that's a big plus. It gives $7,000 to any family for a student. And the first 2 years, it's to a family who is in poverty, 300% or below the federal poverty limit.
Yeah.
Which is very reasonable. And they are putting $100 million, a floor of $100 million aside. So it's not even coming out of the ETF. It's coming out of the supplemental appropriation this next year. So it's not going to hurt public schools like people are screaming about. I mean,
yeah.
Randy Weingartner was like, we're going to hurt public schools.
Okay.
Well, who cares? We're not here to help public schools. We're here to help public school students.
There you go.
And you said something earlier. We were driving over, and you said, I have always worked on behalf of public and private schools. And I thought, well, I really haven't done anything for private schools except for the AAA, the Alabama Accountability Act. Very involved in when that passed, supporting
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
And then I actually was a consultant for one of the scholarship-granting organizations for a few months to try to get the CPAs to understand the benefits of that program to the taxpayer. So there's so much about school choice, and I know all of it. Ins and outs, up and down.
That's because you've lived, eat, sleep,
I've done
drink,
it.
Breathe
I'm
it.
I'm supportive of it, and now I'm being attacked on the issue. So we'll talk about that too. But I mean, you know, when you said I'm almost ideally situated for this seat, I believe I really am. I believe I've got the background and the skills and the knowledge, know the people, know how to make the things happen to actually go into this job. You know, day one, ready to serve.
Well, so we're going to wind up taking a break here in about a minute. And when we come back, you mentioned Randy Weingarten. I'm going to want to talk about the teachers' union's opposition to things like what we're talking about. But right now, just in your own opinion, the Choose Act, which is Alabama's school choice bill, which has already made it, you know, past the House.
It's farther than it's ever been before.
Yes, it's never gone
We've
like
never
this.
Gotten this far. So.
It's obvious we have some momentum. If you had to predict, are you saying it's going to pass?
Oh, I'm definitely saying it's going to pass. I think the Senate is definitely ready, and I believe it'll come out of the Senate well more than what is needed.
Isn't it funny, by the way? I mean, you and I have been both part of the legislative process. You can see a very good bill get no traction.
Yeah.
Like 2, 3 years, 4 years in a row, and then all of a sudden there's just the magic year.
It does seem like, I mean, I go back to the year that children car seats were regulated. It took 3 or 4 years to regulate car seats in Alabama. And you know, everybody now thinks, how would you possibly not put your child in a car seat? Well, good legislation usually takes more than 1 year to get it through the process.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
I mean, this is a sign of good legislation that's taken a few years, but it's, you know, we're going to get it and it's going to start in 2025 and parents will get to make the choice that's best for their students.
All right, listen, we're going to take a break right now. We're going to come back. We're with Charlotte Meadows, former state representative, former local school board member, now running for state school board District 3. And we'll talk to her more about that when we get back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just saving the world one soundbite at a time. Hey, before we go back to our conversation with Charlotte Meadows, school board race, I've got to tell you, there's breaking news right now. The hearing that I told you about earlier with DA Fannie Willis over in has concluded, apparently. And the judge has let it be known that he's taking it all under advisement. He will have a decision about whether or not she'll be disqualified within the next 2 weeks. So I would imagine what that means is that that trial is now on hold for at least a few weeks. I mean, if the prosecutor herself is looking at possibly being disqualified, then it's kind of hard to go forward with trial. So I don't know that for a fact, but I would anticipate that means we have a 2-week pause in any further doings in that particular action, and we'll go from there. Sound like my mic was having a little trouble there for a minute. Hey, listen, we're back in the studio right now with Charlotte Meadows, who is a former state representative, former local school board member, now running for school board District 3. By the way, Charlotte.
Yes.
What counties are in your school board district?
So there are 8 state school board districts, and right. Each one is roughly the same size as a congressional district. District 3 includes all of Shelby, Coosa, Elmore, Bibb, and Chilton counties, the southern part of Jefferson County, the northern part of Montgomery County, all the way out to Pike Road, and a little bitty part of Talladega where Sylacauga is.
Okay, so that's a huge swath of our listening area.
It is. A lot of your listeners are in District 3.
All right. I can't tell you guys enough how much it means for folks to know that you're going to go to the polls next Tuesday. Doesn't matter who you're voting for. I'm just telling you.
Don't forget to vote.
Yeah, don't be the one that goes, oh, shoot, I forgot to go to the polls. I've said it multiple times. I had a friend of mine who ran for city council, lost by one vote, found out a husband and wife, some of our closest friends, forgot to go to the polls that day. They could have changed everything.
So Tuesday morning, I'm going to wake up texting all my friends saying, don't forget
darn
to
right.
vote. There you go.
Hey, listen, I want to ask you a question. You've got something on your resume, which is not really on your resume per se, but it just fires me up. So I've probably mentioned it to you before that I love the fact that you are running to be on the state school board, and you're the only person I know of who has actually been in a lawsuit with the teachers union, and you took them all the way to the Supreme Court and won.
You know, Phil, my resume is actually on my website, and I don't think that's on it, but that's actually true.
Whipped the tail of the teachers union in court, by golly.
March the 8th, 2019 was the day that ruling came down. It came down about 10:30 in the morning, and that was still to this day a red letter day in my life. So when we started the charter school, we go before the Alabama Charter Commission, and there was a couple people not present that day, and we got a vote of, I believe, 5-1. And they came back and filed a lawsuit saying that they did not have quorum. And so it was all about the number of votes that were cast on our behalf.
What about the quality of the school?
Wasn't anything to do with anything that made any sense. So we went through this whole year-long process. I mean, that was literally in February of 2018, and it was March of 2019 when the Supreme Court ruled. And at the day they ruled, we had 3 things we had to get done very quickly, literally within 6 days, because there's a law, the part of the law says you have to have a contract signed within 60 days. Well, our attorney had told the deal so that we had 6 days left in the 60 days to get the contract.
Oh, he had
signed.
Told it, T-O-L-L-E-D, told it.
T-O-L-L-E-D, which I'd never heard of that word before. But
yeah.
So we had 6 days from the day the lawsuit was filed to get the contract signed. I mean, from the day the lawsuit was won, to sign the contract with the state, the Charter Commission, to move forward. And we also determined, okay, we can hire the teachers and get a principal in place, and we can also get a building ready. So all those things happened very quickly in March of 2020.
You didn't sleep much in March of 2019.
My daughter also got married on March the 23rd that year. So it was a banner month in the Meadows family.
That's awesome.
So we won the lawsuit, kicked the devil in the teeth, as we still continue to do on a regular basis. And Lead Academy has been attacked over and over and over. And I keep saying how proud I am, because anytime you start something, you're going to have things that come up that don't go so smoothly. If you've ever started any kind of business, you know that. But so we started and we had problems that first year. And at the end of that first year was the pandemic. Not our fault, but we had to deal with it. But at this point, we have gotten the charter renewed and our school is showing the most significant gains of any charter school in the state. We're top 25 in academic growth for this past year.
And let's make sure that the audience remembers, too, a charter school is not a private school. It's a public school with a different charter that allows it to do things perhaps in a novel way or a different way outside the norms.
And our novel way was just to show that all kids can learn.
Wow.
And so we take all kids from Montgomery, anybody that wants to sign up to come. We always have a waiting list. Our kids are vast majority free and reduced lunch. Most of our kids are African-American. I mean, vast majority, 95%. So these are kids that are straight out of our public schools, and they come to us 2 and 3 years behind, and we are bringing them up to a level where they are succeeding.
All right. So you've got some experience at beating the teachers union, but are you aware, or were you aware, that Randy Weingarten herself was in Birmingham this week?
I wish I'd known.
It flew under the radar. I mean, nobody's talking about it, but Randy Weingarten, head of the NEA, which is the AEA's national affiliate or national, you know, parent organization, is out there talking against our school choice bill and just railing about it. And she's here in Alabama making a stump speech, basically.
And, you know, she's just, everything she says is just so dead wrong. And I could take every one of these sentences. I'm kind of ashamed of Trisha Crane because she's a friend of mine. And I'm like, why did you print this, Trisha?
Oh, she's a reporter at AL.com.
But Richard Franklin, he was involved with the Alabama Federation of Teachers in Birmingham when I was with Students First 10, 12 years ago. And we did events in Birmingham, and he would come up here and have his teachers outside of our events saying, you know, don't do this, vote no. It's just, they're naysayers. They're going to be opposed to what's best for students. They're always going to be supportive of what they think is best for teachers. And at the end of the day, that's not what our state school board should be doing. Our state school board should be looking at what's best for kids.
Yep.
And, you know, when we're almost dead last, and we are dead last in some areas in the NAEP scores, the national report card, the nation's report card, if we're happy with what we've got, let's keep on doing it the same way. If we're not, why would we leave the same people in charge?
Well, I'll tell you what, we're going to be taking a break right now again. We'll come back, and that's exactly where I want to go next. Alabama's rankings on the national.
On the NAEP.
Take a look at what we can do about it. And then let's talk about your race a little bit, all right?
Great.
All right. We're with Charlotte Meadows in studio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one right here. Y'all are talking about Alabama. This state, I mean, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. All right, I tell you who else has been covering a lot of ground lately is Charlotte Meadows. She has been campaigning now across how many counties?
8 counties.
Oh, sorry. Hang on.
I'm not on.
8 counties.
8 counties, all of 5 and parts of 3.
Good Lord.
And most, really large parts of your listening audience.
I had 4 counties in my state Senate district, and that wore me out.
Well, this is, you have like 135, 140,000 people, and this is like 700,000.
Wow. Yeah.
People, not voters.
Well, let me ask you something. I want to nug down a little bit into education policy. So, there's a thing that you referenced a while ago called the NAEP scores. And for those who don't know, the National Assessment of Educational Progress, that's like the nation's report card on education. It's where
like
we kind of find
Google
out.
It, you just Google the nation's report card. You don't have to spell out.
Oh, NAEP. I just said that. Yeah. That's what it says.
It really is. You can Google the nation's report card and that's what comes up.
Sometimes I amaze myself.
You're amazing.
Okay.
You're brilliant.
Anyway. Anyway.
Now I'm buttering you up.
So NAEP scores are taken every 2 years. They do a cross-section of schools in the state and they see where we rank. In the last one we did, which was 2022, I mean, it still sucks. But the report showed that Alabama fourth graders did improve in math and reading. State's ranking in fourth grade math went from 52nd. I mean, how are you 52nd? You're behind Puerto Rico.
And the Dominican Republic, I think.
That's awful.
Yeah, we were really, really
or
the
Guam
worst.
Or something, yeah.
So
we were 52nd in math at fourth grade. We went to 40th, which is a nice leap. And then in reading, we went from 49th to 39th. That sounds good.
That's good.
But then in eighth grade, we dropped again because other states were faring worse. Alabama moved up from 52nd to just 47th. But then we stayed steady at 49th in reading. All right. Those scores are awful. They should be embarrassing.
It should be embarrassing. And even more important than that is all those scores relate back to children who are in classrooms who are being taught who aren't learning.
Yeah.
And that, to me, is the tragedy. I mean, we've got 50% of our kids not reading on grade level across the state of Alabama.
Yeah.
And that's just a tragedy because we can't produce what we need to produce as a state if our kids can't leave high school and then go to work. So let's talk about what can we do to fix the problems. I mean, one of the things that I think, the state school board could have done something much sooner. The legislature did pass the Literacy Act back in 2019. Finally, here in 2024, it's been 5 years.
Yeah, they keep pushing it out and pushing it out.
We finally are going to actually fully implement the Literacy Act. The Numeracy Act is something else that the legislature passed a couple of years ago. It's being implemented now. They're funding it better this year than ever before, which means they're going to pay for teachers to go in and teach teachers how to teach. Okay,
it's a little sad when you think about it that way.
That's kind of ridiculous. But if we really do have that problem, we need to get that problem fixed. And we do evidently have a problem that all teachers don't know how to teach. We definitely have had the problem where all teachers don't know how to teach reading. And there's a program called Letters. It stands for Language Essentials of Teachers of Reading and Spelling.
Wow.
And it's the science of reading. And there really is a science of reading. And if you do the letters training, it's proven that 95% of the kids being taught that way learn to read. Now, you wonder, what about the other 5%? Well, there really are some kids who are so, what's a good word? Not physically, but mentally challenged. That they may not be able to read being taught the normal processes.
Sure. I mean, everybody's
and
got
so
a handicap.
We have
in some
to
way,
deal yeah. with those students in a different way. Anyway, the biggest thing to me about being on the state school board is if they would focus on the problems might get fixed. And if you ever watch the state school board meetings or listen to them, and they're online, you can watch or listen. Same thing with the work sessions. There's very little attention given to where we stand academically. Across the state, system by system,
which is amazing because that's their job.
That is their job. And one really good thing I learned when I was on the local school board is that what school boards do matters. What they pay attention to, what they focus on, that's what gets done in the district. So if a school board is focused on, we've got to improve our math scores, then guess what? It goes down into the classroom and the math scores start to rise because anybody who's ever been a part of a planning process knows that if there's a plan in place from the top down, it just starts to happen.
Well, I mean, so if you're on the school board and not every seat's going to flip, there's some people running unopposed for the same seats they've already had.
There's only two seats
that are contested right
now? That are contested. Well, there's three, but one of those is a Democrat running against a Republican. That probably will not flip.
Okay.
So there's two, District 3 and District 7.
You get in there, though, and with your background and with your drive, I do believe, by the way, that one person can still make a difference.
Oh, I definitely
agree with
that.
I don't think you're going to be by yourself, per se.
No, I think I'm going to be able to work with – I mean, I think they all want to see Alabama's education improve. I really do believe that. If I didn't believe that, I probably wouldn't be trying to do this.
Yeah. Okay.
So.
All right. So is there a policy position that is like one of your first priorities if you get elected? I mean, which one would you, if you got in the door and said, okay, if I got a chance to set an agenda tomorrow, I want to consider this, what would it be?
Probably the policy that I think is going to need the most attention being given to it is for parents to have the rights that they deserve in making sure they know what's going on in the schools. Senator Greg Reed has that
he does.
Act.
It's like a Transparency Act, right?
Right. I think it's called Parents' Rights or something like that. Anyway, I mean, one of the things that the state board can do is work to implement the policies that the state legislature puts in place. And having been in the state legislature, I know full well that one thing they really want is communication and understanding between those two groups. And there just hasn't been a ton of it. So I think the state board, one of my roles would be to make sure that parents' rights are being paid attention to. And you know,
I think that's huge. I think that goes back
to really address academics, but I think it's critical because when a parent doesn't feel like they've got the buy-in, they won't buy in.
I'm going to disagree with you for the first time. I think it has everything to do with academics.
Well,
and I'll tell you why. Because if you look at what happened during COVID, suddenly parents were aware of what was happening in their kids' classrooms, and they began to demand better in terms of academics.
And that's why we're getting so many parents involved now.
Yeah.
I agree with you. You're right.
I mean, I'm solid conservative and just plain right.
What are you
going to do? All right, so listen.
And I'm wrong.
Here's
on that one little thing.
There was that one time I thought I was wrong, but I wasn't wrong.
In math, it's like we've got to make sure that parents are part of the solution. I mean, parents have to be part of the solution.
Yeah.
Not that we're asking them to teach reading, because that's what the teacher should be doing. But parents, if they're involved and they want to be involved, they desperately want to be involved, we can't shut the door on them.
All right. Here's the third rail of Alabama politics. Education budget. So Brian Lyman, you and I both know Brian Lyman. He's a, I'll just go ahead and say it for you. He's a very liberal reporter who is now in charge of a website called the Alabama Reflector.
Yep.
So he has gone from being the state house reporter in the press box to being a guy who actually has editorial rights over a news site. And his liberal bent is like what we always thought was there is like, wow, it's all over. He just wrote a piece. They got published in other places. It was actually published in Tennessee, this one that I saw.
How you improve.
Came out a couple weeks ago. And it's basically, he says about school choice, this is not how you improve Alabama schools. But his point, though, is, and I'm trying to go back to school choice again, his point is that he believes that we just need to put more money in education. He's of the firm belief we need to put more money in education. That'll solve all of our ills. Your thoughts on that?
So, Phil, this year's education budget, the ETF, is scheduled to be $9.35 billion.
The biggest one ever.
Kay Alvey would say billion with a B.
Yep.
And we're talking about $100 million coming out of it. I mean, I'm not going to pull out my calculator and figure out what percent that is, but it's a very small percent.
Yeah.
And we're talking $100 million would take care of about 14,000 kids. And if that's, you know, if those 14,000 kids are in a situation that their parents don't feel is the best for them, then by golly, let those parents take those taxpayer dollars and take their kids to a school that works for those kids. And that could be another public school, could be a charter school, it could be a private school,
could be a homeschool,
So,
well, so
we've got to make education work for kids, regardless of where the money goes. I really believe that.
Well, and I saw it more than once. We'd be debating something, you know, whether it be an education bill, a school choice bill, a budgeting bill, in the state senate when I was there, and one of the Democrats would always go to the podium and say, "We just don't fund education enough." I would always ask, "What's enough?"
Let's have a conversation about what exactly. Let's get to the point where we'd finally decide what is enough.
Can somebody tell me what enough actually means, and maybe we can put a number on it? But they never could. But then, so all that to say, one of the things that really gets me is the fact that there are multiple states that rank higher than us that spend less per student,
spending way less per student
than we do. So it's not a question of what monies; it's what you do with them.
I was going to say, I think it really, I agree with you 100% there. I don't think it has anything to do with how much money. I think it depends on what you do with the money that you get. For example, charter schools don't get local money, and we are doing a better job in Montgomery at Lead Academy than the traditional schools are that are all around us, and they're getting millions of dollars each.
Yeah.
To do the same thing that we're expected to do, and we're doing it better.
Well, and I really believe that if we can see some of this legislation passed this year, that money will be proving itself not to have been the issue all along.
I'm not a gambling person.
That's the other bill in the legislature.
I would put money on the fact that the CHOOSE Act will pass and the governor will sign it.
Oh, I think I'm really expecting
that. And then part of the role of the state board will be to make sure that things like that and everything else that the legislature does gets implemented in a way that works for the public schools.
I think what we're going to see, too, and I said this yesterday before the break here, I'll just tell you, I think what we're going to see is it's going to become like we just applied free market principles to education. Suddenly, the schools that may wind up losing students are going to realize, A, we're going to go by the wayside like the store that no one wants to shop at anymore, or we're going to have to up our game and have better merchandise for the people to want to come shop here.
Exactly.
That's what's going to happen.
Competition.
Competition drives improvement always.
Raises the level of all the boats in the water.
All right, we're going to take the last break. We'll come right back, and I want to just come back in and just nug down on your campaign a little bit. All right, we'll have a few minutes and just talk about what you're doing. I did see some nasty ads are being run about you. Come on.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
I didn't know you were like a closet communist or something.
Yes.
No.
With no lipstick on in the picture. That's the worst part. No lipstick.
All right, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just making common sense like a superpower. All right, so I am back in studio right now with Charlotte Meadows, former state representative, member of the state school board, now running for member of the local school boards down in Montgomery area, and now running for state school board, District 3. I don't think anybody out there can contest that school boards are necessary, but man, who knew they were this controversial? I mean,
you know,
so all of a sudden,
I should have expected this because I've been targeted by the teachers union.
Yeah.
Even when I ran for the state house in 2013, and then 2019, they didn't do a whole lot. But 2022, I got redrawn. My district was drawn out, so I was replaced by a Democrat. I think I was the only Republican to lose in 2022.
You were, and that was probably a gimme to the teachers union. I'll be honest with you. I'll say it for you.
You can say that. But you know what? God may have had a different plan, and it may be that the plan is for me to be on the state school board so I can affect much bigger change.
That's fair. And you know, they may rue the day they don't have you as one of 105 members. You're one of only
a few on
the state school board.
Right now, I'm pretty fired up about some of the stuff that's happened. We got a flyer in the mail last week, and it was from Dark Money.
Oh, yeah.
And when you say Dark Money, you think, what does that mean? It means that the PAC that sent it is not legal in Alabama, and there's no way to trace where the money came from.
Yeah.
So then we thought, okay, that's the end of it. But then Wednesday, I'm in Montgomery, and my phone starts blowing up, and people around the district, all across the district, are getting ugly text messages saying the same thing. It's from the same federal – well, it said paid for by 2024 PAC, which, again, not legal in Alabama. It's not recognized. It's not reported. It's just – it's not there. But there is a federal 2024 PAC. And, you know,
there's some Alabama names attached to it.
There are some Alabama names attached to it, and they're well-known AEA operatives. So, you know, it has occurred to me that I'm being attacked from both other campaigns, not necessarily from those people, but from that side of the aisle, because somebody's afraid I'm going to win. And that when I win, I'm going to make some changes, and they're going to have to rue the day, like you just said, that I'm actually in office in Montgomery trying to make a difference for kids in Alabama.
Well, like I said, you're the only one running who's actually sued, you know, been in litigation
and
with the teachers union and won.
Let's repeat that over and over and over.
By
and
golly. Negative ads and campaigning, but so talk to me, though. You're out knocking on doors, doing all the things. I mean, here you are on the radio with me today. It's nonstop. Are you tired? You going to make it all the way to Tuesday?
We're going to make it all the way to Tuesday, yes.
Your husband's going to keep you? It's all good?
Bless his heart. He's been the best Uber driver I could have ever asked for. I mean, he's been driving me all over this place. And I mean, occasionally I drive myself, but if he's available and he's in town, he goes with me, and he usually does the driving. And he's been great. My family's been great. My sisters, I have a sister that lives in the district, another one that lives just north of here, and my parents live in the district. My aunts and uncles live in Elmore County, and they're getting all this negative, ugly mail and text messages and stuff, and I believe it's fired up my voters. I believe it's really made my supporters angry because they know that it's just not true.
Yeah.
I would say what I really think about it, but we're on radio during drive time and children are in the car. So I'm convinced that this is a sign that somebody is really scared that I'm going to win on Tuesday.
Well, there's that old axiom. There's two things, you know. One is that don't bother responding to everything they say about you. Otherwise, you're dancing to their tune. And the other one is, if they are talking about you, that means they're worried.
Right.
So I would say that you're doing what you got to do. So Tuesday's the election. Go ahead and name your counties again, because a bunch of them are in my listening area.
Okay. It's all of Shelby County, all of Coosa and Elmore, all of Bibb and Chilton, the southern part of Jefferson County, all the way from Mountain Brook all the way over to Trustville. Most of what I would consider anybody that's Republican where they would live in Jefferson County is in District 3. That's not a guarantee, but
yeah,
most of the places that you would live in
the
Jefferson
redder
County,
the redder enclaves,
all the red areas of town, and then the northern part of Montgomery, all the way. Actually, if you're in Montgomery, pretty much everything north of Vaughan Road, all the way out to Pike Road, and then includes all Pike Road all the way to the county line.
That's a big swatch of ground right there.
So the Montgomery part, and your listeners can't hear this, but it's actually where I represented District 74, and also the school board district.
I've had folks tell me they were listening to my show all the way down to Prattville.
Well, you can listen, but it's not a real clear signal unless you're on like iHeart or something. So.
Well, listen, you've been in the trenches for a number of years, and so, you know, just to recap a little bit, you were very involved in your local school board because you had a passion for what you were seeing not being done, and you got it and got involved and got done. And then you went from there to working in the education arena in a lobbying capacity, advocating for education reform and all that. Then you went from there to the state legislature where you carried education bills. And then now you're running for the state school board.
And in that same time, I started that charter school, which really,
that's what gave me. I forgot. And sued the teachers union.
And sued the teachers union. But really, starting the charter school is really part of what gave me the understanding of how well and how well not the State Department works, because I frequently felt like we were a red-headed stepchild in the way we were treated. And now as I've been talking to local school systems, I realize, you know what? I think all school systems are being treated that way by the State Department, and that's not right. They deserve transparency and accountability from the State Department to the local school systems across the state.
Well, listen, I know your opponents. It's not like they're bad people.
They're good
but
people.
I've known you for a long time, and you campaigned for me. I'm for you. Blessings on you. I'm gonna pray real quick for the air. Lord God, thank you for all you do. Thank you for Charlotte Meadows. Thank you for the strength of character that she has. I pray, God, you give her everything she needs to carry her through Tuesday. I pray, Father, for favorable results, and I ask you, God, to give her strength as she works through these days, knocks on every door, speaks to every person, shakes every hand. God, go before her in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, just in time for some rock to kick on. All right, love you. Blessings on you. We'll see you soon.
Thank you, Phil.